Well, it's good to be here today and thank Pastor David and Dawn for inviting me. And I first of all knew about this church through Klaus and Barbara, so it's good to see you here as well. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll place the words within my mouth, that you'll prepare every heart today to receive the word that you would want to preach through me today. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. And today I want to share about fulfilling our potential in Christ. God has a unique plan and destiny for each and every one of our lives. But the fact is, we need to have courage to appropriate all that God has planned for our life. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God has the best plan for our life. He's had it prepared from the beginning of time that says that we should walk in them. And who knows, in this life there's an adversary out there that is trying to rob us of all the good things that God has planned for our life. And I'm going to share a bit of a story about 12 spies that went out to spy the promised land. And 10 of those 10 spies were full of unbelief and fear, and they caused the whole generation not to enter into the promised land. Jesus himself said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The plan that God has for your life is one that will truly give you a sense of purpose and meaning all the days of your life. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. There are many things in this world that look good. They look good. The devil makes them look good. But they lead you down a path that will never fulfill the best that God has planned for your life. And when I look at Michael Jackson, I look at that man at 50, a mere skeleton, a man who had so much gifts and talents. Yet the way he ended up, it's such a shame to see a man with so much potential, literally a bag of bones. See, the devil comes to kill and to steal and destroy. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And I want to share now about the story about the 12 spies and just look at a few verses and make some notes in terms of these scriptures. And we're looking at Numbers chapter 13 and number chapter 14. And we'll start in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 13. And here we see that God had already promised to give the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. In verses, Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each of the tribe of the fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." God had already promised to give the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. It was just a matter of walking in and appropriating that land. It was full of great blessings. And then we go into verses 17 to 21. We see here Moses sending off the 12 spies to spy out the land. And these were the instructions he said in verses 17 to 21, just to set a bit of a foundation. "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes, so they went up and spied out the land. And after they spied out the land, they came back with a good report that it truly was a land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 27, a couple of verses down, it says, "Then they told him and said, We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." God has the best plan for our life. He wants to see us blessed in life. And here was a land that was so abundantly fertile and rich in produce that God wanted to give to the children of Israel. In verse 23, back a couple of verses, "This fruit also included one cluster of grapes, that had to be carried between two of them on a pole. They must have been some big grapes, saying, what a fertile land that God was promising to give the children of Israel. The Apostle Paul wrote, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, God is not limited by our ability, he's only limited by our availability. God's plan is far bigger for our lives than we can ever imagine. He used four unlearned fishermen to become great apostles of faith. And that Peter, in his first sermon after the day of Pentecost, in one sermon, 3,000 people called upon the name of Jesus Christ and were saved. See, God isn't looking for theologians or people that are academically brilliant. He's simply after people that have a passion to love and serve him. Amen. That is the only criteria, that we're prepared to lay down our lives for the cause of Christ and to follow his plan that leads to life, and life more abundantly. Prophet Isaiah said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How we need to let God take over all of our life, because truly his ways are higher than our ways. It takes faith to step out and to follow God's plan for our life. But that is where the blessing is. That is where the purpose in life is. That's the abundant life that Jesus speaks of. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then we go down to verse 30. And here we see a faith confession from one of the two spies who could believe that God would take them into that promised land, and his name was Caleb. And then Caleb, in verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb believed in the bigness of our God. He believed in the bigness of his God. See, there are divine opportunities in life, but sometimes we need to seize the moment, because God opens up a door that we need to walk through. And so often we can procrastinate and say, even, well, I'll pray about it. But there are times we need to step out into what God is calling us to do, to see the miracles that God has waiting for our life. Just a few weeks ago, the Lord really put on my heart to step out and do a new work in King's Cross. And in the natural, after the first week, no one turned out to our service. I thought, well, Lord, do you just really want us to do this? He said, have I changed my mind? And next day he said, I want a different strategy. Go out and see all the homeless people and give them an invite to go to your church. And two people turned up the next Sunday. One of them was miraculously touched by the Lord. He came back a week later totally sober, with about 17 other people, and now there's 30 odd people coming, and it's growing. See, his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. But then we look at 10 of the spies in verses 31 to 33 of Numbers chapter 13 that were full of fear and unbelief. But the men who had gone up with him, that is Caleb, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We all have to overcome the giants in our life. The fear of being rejected when we step out to share our faith with others. The fear of failure. That if we do something, maybe it mightn't work out. But I want to share a little quote from Teddy Roosevelt, who said, far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the grey twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. We have one life that God has blessed us with to do things that he has planned for our life. His plans are so great, we just need to trust him and step out and do what He's calling us to do in life. Our past failures will not rob us of the future that He has planned for our life. But some of those giants can be unresolved hurts. The people have hurt me in the past. And so often it's hard to move on when there's people that we feel fearful about because of hurts that are resting inside of our hearts. Issues of life that can stop us from moving into the freedom and the liberty that Christ died on the cross, that we may have life, that we may be free indeed. Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." He wants us to walk out in the fullness of that freedom that He has planned for our life. Or we can dwell on our past failures. See, sometimes when we failed once, it's hard to get back up and do it again. But when Jesus is walking with you, the second time when you do that thing, He will guarantee success. Because Jesus wants us to lead a life that is full of purpose. He wants to bless us. He wanted to bless the children of Israel. But because of this negative report of the 10 spies, the generation that there, they became so discouraged, they wanted to almost die and go back to Egypt from where they came. They were totally disheartened. In fact, their spirit had been broken by these 10 spies that were full of unbelief. Or what are some of the other giants? We can look at our own limitations, because we all know what our own weaknesses are in the flesh, don't we? We all know the insecurities. And before I became a Christian, never once could I ever public speak. I had anxiety upon anxiety, even at the thought of standing up and mentioning who my name was in public. But it's amazing that God uses people that have a fear generally of public speaking. He picks their lives up, turns them around, and sometimes causes them to be preachers, because they know that apart from Him, you can do nothing. Amen. They depend on Christ every time to get up in the pulpit. But I tell you what, with Jesus, what you can do with Him, you can do great and mighty things, because He makes weak, foolish, unrecognized people into world changers that confound the wise. Amen. Because the Spirit of God lives in the heart of every believer. This 10 spies had such a negative report that the whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, did not enter into the promised years. It was 40 years later that Joseph and Caleb entered into the promised land. The book of Proverbs says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Words have a power to crush. Words have a power to destroy a dream that God has for our life. So we have to be very careful about who speaks into our life. Who is the people that are influencing our life? Because there are many people in this world that see the giants in this world. They see the economic problems. But my Bible says that my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, my Bible says that we're in a different kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God that's about eating, not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's about we can tap in to the kingdom resources. That as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the other things shall be added to our life that pertain to see us fulfilling our destiny in Christ. That is the kingdom that we live here on earth. So as a result of the negative report from the 10 spies in Numbers 41-2, we saw the spirit of the children of Israel was broken. If only we could go back to Egypt. And how easy it is when we have a few failures in the life to go back to the old dysfunctional ways to get comfort and security in things that will never ever satisfy you. We deal a lot with people that have come from a background of drugs and all that, and I encourage them, never go back to those things. They'll never satisfy like Jesus will satisfy. They are crutches. We need the real thing. We need to be in love with Jesus Christ. See, the children of Israel could not even gain courage by recalling how God had miraculously delivered them from the bondage of Egypt through the Red Sea. Because when fear comes upon you, sometimes you become irrational and you can no longer look at the miracles and the provisions that God's given you in your life, because you're so caught up with the fears of the now that you don't look back at the faithfulness of God through the past. Amen. So these things couldn't even, these children of Israel couldn't be comforted by what they'd seen just a few years earlier, the incredible deliverance through the Red Sea. Then the Lord said to Moses in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Except for Joshua and Caleb, a whole generation died in the wilderness and failed to enter into the promised land. If we don't stand up as a church and boldly proclaim the glorious gospel message that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, that he came that all the world could come to know his Father through him, if we don't tell the world that there's a God who can turn around the most unsolvable situations because he is God, there's a whole generation of youth which I love so much could end up dying spiritually and end up in a place called hell because the body of Christ did not have the courage to stand up and say, Jesus Christ loves you. He says all those that come to him, he'll by no means cast aside. You know, it takes courage in this generation, you young guys, to stand up for your faith. But I tell you what, you stand up, the power of the Holy Ghost will flow through your life, and you'll see your friends come to know Christ, the hope of glory that lives in you. Amen. We need to be people of courage that are prepared to step out and do what God has called us to do in life. But the good thing is God's faithful. You know, the Bible says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's a whole nation now that's starting to come to its knees. Many of us have been in the Christian walk for a number of years. I encourage you, do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. You do not get discouraged. Being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And because of their fear and disobedience, God's blessing came off the lives of the children of Israel. We must put our trust in the Lord. Amen. Without faith, you cannot please God. Amen. So we all need courage to fulfill our God-given destiny. Fear is the opposite of faith. Someone once put fear as being false evidence appearing real. Amen. False evidence appearing real. Before leading the children of Israel into the promised land, the Lord said to Joshua, in Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. In Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. And again in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. It takes courage to appropriate all that God has planned for your life. But I'm going to share a few keys how we can grow in courage, how we can walk in courage, knowing there's an awesome God that is walking with us and says, I will never ever leave you nor forsake you. See, even the great Apostle Paul that wrote half of the New Testament, he had to overcome fear. But he did it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. The Apostle Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. I was with you in weakness. This is the great Apostle Paul. In fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. He said his strength was made perfect in his weakness. The weaker we are, the stronger he is. And we come to the point that apart from him we realise we can do nothing. But oh, with him we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We must decrease, but he must increase. So I want to now just share four keys that can help us to appropriate all that God has planned for our lives as individuals, and as a church. We must firstly not allow our past to rob us of what God has planned for our future. We must not dwell on our past failures and even successes. Be comfortable with what we've done in the past, because God has so much more, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. But it's often the failures, the regrets of maybe if this had not happened in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. But today is day one of the rest of your life. And none of the past failures will stop God from using you mightily in the future. It's people that allow themselves to be chained to the past, that never move on into the destiny that God has called them to fulfill, the plan and purpose that he has for their life. See, the devil always tries to remind you of your past mistakes. But Jesus says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." That's the awesome God that so wants to grab a hold of your life, to see your life touching lives all around you, and you're walking in that peace and joy in your heart, even through the midst of the crises we all at times will go through in life. As long as Jesus is with us through the storms, I don't mind the storms. Amen. His peace and his joy is what I love so much. So we all make mistakes in life. We must simply just learn from our past mistakes. Get wisdom of what not to do in the future. And move on continually, one step at a time, following the Master's plan for our life. The Apostle Paul spent many years persecuting Christians. And how he could have had regrets, how he hurt all those people that he now loves so dearly, the Christian body. But he knew to move on to be the great apostle of faith, he could no longer dwell on his past mistakes, but he had to let it go and begin to move on into what God had called him to do in life. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected." We're all going to stumble at times. We're all going to sometimes have attitudes that aren't quite perfectly loving. We're human. He said, "Not that I've already attained and already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The devil will continually try and remind you of your past failures, but we need to make a choice to press on into all that God has purposed and planned for our life. We minister to the homeless, and we have really now for 5 or 6 years. And I tell you what, every problem they have is because they cannot forget mistakes they've made in the past. They cannot forgive people that hurt them many years ago. And maybe they mightn't have had the best upbringing in growing up as kids. And they can't put that behind and fall in love with Jesus and touch the lives of many. I have one friend of mine who chose at the age of 40. He came out of prison, a guy called Mick Thompson. He said for all his 40 years he'd never been able to cry from about the age of about 10. He was a hardened man, drug dealer, he'd been bank robber, all those things. He was a heroin addict for 20 years, had hepatitis for 12. But he said, "God, if you're real, I want to cry." And he came out of prison about 6 to 8 years ago, and tears began to flood down, and a Salvation Army officer led that man to Jesus Christ. He then went through Bible college. He ended up doing sales and doing jobs he could never have done without the power of the Holy Ghost. And just recently he's been invited to speak to the big Youth Alive rally in Queensland. He's a man who loves the coffee and the word. He's a man who realised he couldn't look back. And even two of his sisters had died of heroin overdoses. He could easily have had regrets, but he's moving on into what God has planned for his life. So we must not let the past rob us of the future. Second, we must continue to maintain an intimate walk in relationship with God. That Jesus Christ is always our first love and the passion. Jesus himself said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind." Mark chapter 12, verse 30. with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first command. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The people I admire most in the ministry are people like your Reinhard Bonnkes that are still approaching 70, just as passionate about Jesus Christ as they were as a young kid growing up. And we have to be so careful that we never allow church just to become a commonplace thing. But every week we come to church, we expect God to speak to us. We expect God to move in our midst. We get more and more of a hunger to see God move even in a bigger way. We see some miracles, but we want to see God move in a greater way. And God was clearly emphasizing to me, the church is growing quickly to 30, but believe that it can grow more. Believe that more people can get me set free of drugs. Believe in the power of God to change lives. And I tell you what, you need to have that passion to know that the gospel is the only answer in this world. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for all those who believe, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. I believe that the gospel can transform the most derelict man and turn him around so he becomes a great man of faith. I believe in the power of the gospel to change lives. You get that belief when you spend time with Jesus. You get the compassion of Christ when you spend time with Jesus. You get the boldness of Christ when you spend time with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Acts chapter 4, 13. And perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized they'd been with Jesus. Our time in the closet with Jesus is where the power and the compassion comes into our lives. His passion to see lost souls saved from their sin. Jesus himself said, but the hour is coming. In John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. How you worship in private is how we worship in public. It's during the days throughout the week, and sometimes the eggs burned or whatever it is, we keep praising the Lord. We've had a bad day and we've wiped our files off on the computer, you put on a worship tape and praise the Lord. That's the key. Praising him just as Paul and Silas, when they were all the stripes in the back, they're in prison. At midnight, they began to pray and worship, and all the chains came off the prisoners. There is power in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So only as we abide in him will our lives bear much fruit. John chapter 15 and verses 4-5, Jesus himself said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How we must not allow the cares of this world to take our heart's affections away from loving Jesus. As we wait upon the Lord, his friend is made perfect in our weakness. I love Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29-31. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord, hallelujah, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love King David. He said, trust, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 18. 28-30. How important it is to stay close to Jesus, that we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus.
When Jesus asked Peter to walk to him on the water, he began walking on the water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw all the storms around him, he began to sink. The key to having perfect peace in the midst of storms is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Isaiah 26, 3-4 says, "You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." So how we need to put the past behind. Don't allow the past to rob us of the destiny that God has planned for our future. How we need to stay close to Jesus, that he's our first love. So we never end up just doing religious works, as the Church of Ephesus did, full of good works, yet they left their first love. It's our passion for Jesus that'll touch this nation. And then thirdly, we need to build our lives on the Word of God. When I grew up, I had so much dysfunctional thinking, so many irrational fears. I had no idea of the incredible promises that God had for my life. And as I found myself meditating on the Word of God, it gives you comfort and security in the midst of even the times we've been going through now with the economic recession. See, my Bible says that my God shall supply all my need. And my wife lost her job just before Christmas, and I simply trust the Lord for every dollar. I walk out by faith, and for 6 months, God has met every one of our 500 to 600 per week needs. We need a lot of money to get by, and somehow God has miraculously met that need. And the great thing is, when you haven't got a job or anything, the only one you can trust is God. And 1 week we had $1,600 of bills to come in. We had my registration all of a sudden was due. My phone bill just happened to come up there. And there was $1,600, and I said, "God, your word promises." And you know what? God met those needs. And I now look back, as maybe the children of Israel should have, and I say, "Boy, my God is so faithful. He's been faithful the last 6 months. I can trust him for the next 6 months as we're about to head off to go to India." Hallelujah. See, the world is full of influences that could pull us away from God's best. We must never allow the cares and the distractions and the temptations of this world to pull us away, our affections away from Jesus. Many people have experienced many dysfunctional challenges growing up. They've had rejection growing up. If that was in my case, I was rejected quite a fair bit growing up. And so often I just wanted to prove myself, and I started putting on a front. Yet deep down I was a very insecure man that would do nothing. Wouldn't even get up to mention his name. But God loved this man even though I'd made a lot of mistakes. Because he knew that at the age of 29, I would surrender my life to him and say, "I can't do it, Lord, but today I'm putting my trust in you, Jesus, because I know with you I can do it from this day on." And I walked out that church. The weight of the world had come off my shoulders. I was born again. I was a child of the living God. For the last 18 years, Jesus has looked after my life. I mismanaged it for 29 years. God's been looking after me the last 18. Hallelujah. Today we are bombarded with much negative news. The children of Israel heard a very negative report from 10 spies that were full of fear and full of unbelief. That whole generation lost all those blessings that God had for their life. How we need to meditate on things of good report. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The best thing to meditate on is the Word of God. Before entering the promised land, that is what the Lord said to Joshua. In Joshua 1:8, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He realized the power of words coming out of our mouth. Our words must be in line with the promises of God. Amen. The promises of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We need to transform our minds, replace the negative, stinking thinking of the past with God's promises and His direction and His wisdom for the future. Amen? We need to transform this mind by meditating on the Word of God. It keeps us strong in the storms of life. Amen? We can go back to that closet with the Lord and meditate on the promises of God that He's going to get us through anyway. Doesn't matter what the world says, God's going to get us through. And the fourth thing, so putting the past behind, intimacy with Jesus, building a life on the Word of God. We need to be continually led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And I heard a message based on that scripture at the beginning of this year. And all this year I've just allowed the Holy Spirit every day to guide my steps. Where we are now, I prayed. I came back from India and they were looking for a place to have a Sunday brunch. For about a year we've been wanting a place for a Sunday brunch. I thought, where in King's Cross could you afford a place? We were wanting to rent one place. It was $500 a week just for a classroom. And I thought, in the natural, there is no way now we could get a place. But God said, there's an upper room. He gave me a rhema word. There's an upper room prepared in King's Cross, waiting for you. And that was on the plan as I came back from India in February this year. So then I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? And God gently, through the Holy Spirit, said, ring St. John's. And then my natural reasoning came in. How could a church want you to be there at the same time that they have a church service? So, all right, Lord, where do you want us to put that church? St. John's. Okay, Lord. So I rang up St. John's. Within a minute, we're in that place. Their service is 9:30, we have a brunch 11:30. They've been greatly encouraged seeing all the homeless coming, and it's been a match made in heaven. I just learned to bypass this logic, this reasoning, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. John 16:13 says, Jesus himself said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you all things to come. How we need to stay close and allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. We also need the power of the Holy Spirit to do ministry. We need to be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. We need to know the will and the mind of God in these days that are very evil. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. The Apostle Paul said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to live a life that is led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And the Apostle Paul wrote, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you. So in conclusion, as Christians we begin to enter into all that God has planned for our life, when we surrender our entire life to Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. It is in giving our life away do we find it and do we experience the wonderful plan that God wants each and every one of us to follow in our lives. A plan that will truly fulfill us, that you can get up every Monday, no longer with Monday-itis, but God's already got a wonderful lot of things to do on Monday. We enter his rest when we come to Christ and allow him to guide our steps. Jesus himself said in John chapter 12, Verse 24 to 26. Most assuredly I say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his wife will lose it, and he who hates his wife in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. I don't know where Michael Jackson stood, but I don't believe he followed God's perfect plan for his life. Because there are people that get promoted to glory. Reinhard Bonnke, when he goes to heaven, will not have been one that struggled in his life, but he won as a man who overcame and walked in victory because Jesus was walking with him every step of the way. God's an awesome God, and he loves you, and he wants you truly to have a blessed life. He wants to stop you from making those mistakes that will hurt you in life. He wants to see you go through life with a sense of purpose and meaning continually. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. We cannot change our past, but we can trust God with our future, so all that he has planned for our life will come to pass. And I want to just finish with a short story about a man. All his life he wanted to run a marathon. Then finally he got around to making the decision, well, I'm going to start running the marathon this year, I'm going to start training. And he began by walking to the letterbox and back, and then he began walking around the block, then running around the block. And after a few months of preparation, he got to the stage he was ready to run this marathon. So he entered this marathon, he was there at the start of the marathon, he said, boy, this is a long race, I need someone to talk to, this is going to be a long race. So then the gun went off and away they went, and he began running, and then an 83-year-old man began running alongside him. He said, this man I can keep up with. But after a while he began to draw away, and all he saw was the soles of his feet. So he kept running a bit more, and he said, well, I want someone to run with, I'll just see who else is coming along. And then a 63-year-old grandmother came up and ran alongside him. He said, this is the pace that I can run. So as they ran along, they came to the first drink stations. And he said, I'm going to get a drink, I'm thirsty. And I said, do you want to get a drink as well? She said to this grandmother, and she said, no, someone told me that if I stopped, I might not get going again. So she kept going, and he got his drink. But he ended up catching up with this lady again and ran for another lot of kilometres. But then they came to the second drink station. And again he said, do you want a drink? And she said, no. Someone said, if I stop, I might not get going. He never saw that lady again until he crossed the finish line. And as he crossed the finish line, he saw in the distance this lady, obviously in distress. He thought, has she had a heart attack? So he ran over to her and said, are you all right? She said, oh, I'm fine. I've just been thinking a lot about life. So this race had three races within a race. An 8K fun run, a half marathon, and a full marathon. And she said, I've just been thinking here about life. I entered this race to run the 8K fun run. But when I hit the 37 kilometre mark, I realised I could finish this race. And I've just been sitting here agonising over the last half hour. That right through all my life I've been thinking about all the things I cannot do in life. But now I'm only going to think about all the things that I can do in life. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God has an awesome plan for your life. Simply trust and obey, for there's no other way. But it begins by giving your life to Jesus Christ. And I was 29 years of age. For 3 years I've been suicidal between the ages of 26 to 29. Nothing could ever really fulfill me. I did a lot of things to gain meaning in life. And then I started sliding down immorality. I became very depressed, very suicidal. But God had not given up on me. When I was on the steps of Flinders Street one night, drunk, having gone out with the mates from work, God spoke to me. And he said, hey, you planned for my life. He told me to go to a church the next day. And that night, at that church, I surrendered my life to Jesus. He's an awesome God. So today, if you're here and you've never yet made that decision to say, God, I'm sorry for all the mistakes I've made in life. Today I want to live for you. I repent. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again. Today I want you to come into my heart. If you've never made that decision, just say today, I want to pray with you today and give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone here that's never made that decision to give their life to Jesus Christ? Because the moment you call upon the name of Jesus, you're saved and your name is written in heaven, and one day you know there's a place waiting in heaven. That one day you'll come to reign with them here on earth for those 1,000 years. So if no one here is yet, if everyone's made that decision, that's great. But I always like to make sure that every one of you know your name's written in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you.